While I was working on this sermon, I was really struggling with the title of it. Struggling with the fact that there is so much in God's Word that is just so good. And I really want to preach it all. I've gotten to the point where I want to preach it all, but I was told twice to keep to not short. So I might keep it short. We'll see. So bear with me as I do my best to give you guys the best that I can through God. Because God is so good, right? Think about how good God is, y'all. He is good enough to value us more than the sparrows. That's what it says in Matthew 10:30-31. It says, "But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than the sparrows." And then if we look at how God knows us in Psalms 139, David speaks to this. He says in verse 1 and 2, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar." Who are we to deserve to be known by God? But praise God that he knows us. And he's so good that he sent his son to die for us, right? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So we would agree that God is good. I hope that we would agree that God is good, and we would agree that he values us more than the birds, y'all, more than the sparrows. I hope that we would agree on that, and I hope that we would agree that he sent his son to die for us in Jesus Christ. But the question that I have for you tonight is that, is he the God that you really serve? Is he the God that you really serve? You can go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 24. We're going to be in verses 12 through 15. And when you think about that question, is he the God that you really serve? The initial response is to say, "Oh yeah." But how often do you serve him? And is he the only thing that you serve? In the story of Joshua chapter 24, he's on his last stand, and he gathers up all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and within that he gathers the elders, the heads and the officers, and he begins to recount the things that God has done with them, for them, referencing all the way back to Genesis, right? Referencing all the way back to Abraham and his many offspring, to Moses and Aaron, and how God led them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea, and how he delivered them from the Egyptians, the Amorites, and how he didn't listen to Balaam, and how God protected them from all of these clans. All these people, this is what God did for them. And so let's go ahead and stand as we read Joshua 24, 12 through 15. It says this, "And I sent before you, and I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you. The two kings of the Amorites, it was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built. And you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray that right now that we can just have this time with you, God, that we can reflect upon our own hearts, where we're at in our relationship with you, God. Lord, speak to each and every one of us tonight and show us the ways where we need to get closer. Lord, speak through me. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right. So, if you serve God, my first point tonight is that you ought to know the things that he has done for you. You ought to know the things that he's done for you. We ought to recount the things that God has done for us, because it's through God that we've made it out, right? Joshua did this for the people of Israel because there is nothing else that can bring us through a situation like God can. There is nothing else that can bring us through life like God can. in the midst of your life and every trial that you've gone through, whether it be your job, whether it be your family, whether it be your health, think about how God overcame those things for you. In the midst of your circumstance, maybe it was your finances, or maybe it was your sin. He's the one that provides. We can see this in the story of Noah. When he gets off of the ark in Genesis 9:3, it says, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything." That's what he says. We can see this in the story of Abraham. As he saw the ram and offered it up in place of his son in Genesis 22:14. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the message that he continues to speak with the Israelites. In their relationship, he says, "You have done nothing apart from me. It was not by your sword, it was not by your bow, that your enemies were destroyed. It was not from your hands that the city was built that you dwell in. It was by me. It was by God." So we ought to know the things that God has done for us today, and we ought to know that he has done these things through his Son, Jesus Christ, for us. Paul gives us an example of what God does through Jesus as he's in prison, as he writes in Philippians 4:19, but yet still being taken care of, right? He wants the people to know that it is God that supplies every need according to the riches in glory, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If everything that I need comes from God through Jesus Christ, what more can I do? What more do I need to make happen for my own? And will it be up to God's standards? What we make on our own part is a mess. What we do on our own apart from God is often very untimely. And what we do on our own is being done because we don't fully trust God's plan for us. So today, in 2025, and for the rest of the years to come, for the rest of your life, you can trust in him fully and let go and let God have control. This is not the act of letting go of God, but it's getting out of your own way and holding on to God. Holding on to him in the littlest of things and the biggest things, and getting out of the way. Remember where you have been, and remember how God brought you out of it. Acts 4:12 says this, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And God saves us through his Son, Jesus. There is no one else that will restore our souls. There is no one else that will comfort us with a rod or staff. There is no one else that prepares a table in front of our enemies. There is no one else. It is God and God alone. So if you serve God, not only should you know the things that he's done for you, but you should serve him with all of your life. Joshua tells us to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. To fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. So we are to serve him with our life by giving reverence to him in all times, right? Fearing God does not mean living in fear. But it means that we ought to be living and thinking about God in everything. Thinking about God and how are we pleasing God? Are we pleasing him? Because when we live a life pleasing to him, we get the benefit. When we live a life pleasing to God, we get the benefit. Proverbs 14:27 says this, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snare of death." Psalms 111:10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praises endure forever." Do you give reverence to God? Do you fear him? Do you give reverence to him in your quiet time? Is it when you read the scriptures? Does it go away when you're done? Or do you keep giving him reverence throughout your daily life? Does it go away when you leave the church? Or do you carry it with you when you walk out these doors? The sincerity of serving comes by serving with no end. Right? There are no off days for serving the Lord. There is no clocking in and clocking out. It's something that we have to strive to do all the time. Yes, when you get home from a long day at work, yes, you serve the Lord. When your family's being your family, you serve the Lord. When you go into work the next day, you serve the Lord. When you have friends over, you serve the Lord. When you're out in the community, you serve the Lord. You serve God. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Warren Worsby says this in his book. He says, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." Since late October, early November, I've been being discipled. Right? I know you guys probably look at me, "Josh, why do you need to be discipled?" We all need to be discipled. We all need to be discipled. I'm not going to reveal who the guy that's been discipling me is because he wouldn't want that. But I've been with him so long, I know that he fears the Lord. He separates himself in many ways. He separates himself from the things that don't matter. And he focuses on the things that do. This guy is just built different. His archetype is just different from everybody else's. Because he fears the Lord. I've learned that fearing God is really counting the cost and saying, is it worth it for me to have and do certain things? Is it worth it for me to have this in my life if I'm not serving God? Is it worth it for me to do this if I'm not serving God through it? If I'm not giving him all my attention through it? If I'm not honoring him through it, is it worth it? Man, that's how I want to be. That's how I want to live. So not only do we recount the things that he's done for us, not only do we fear him and serve him, but if we serve God, we must be faithful to him. This is something that the people of Israel have heard before. In Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13, it says this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Verse 13 says, "And to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you for your good." We see these same words in the New Testament. And in Matthew 22, 37 through 38, it says, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself," right? This is the part that Brother Doug preached on this morning, right? He said, if we as a church are doing the things, if we as a church are doing things that we cannot associate with loving God and loving your neighbor, the church is wasting our time. That's what he said. I want to challenge you today. I want to take it a step further and say, if you are doing things in your life that aren't associating with God, you are wasting your time. So we ought to be faithful all the time. We ought to be faithful all the time personally so we as a church can serve God and serve people and love people. So we can love God and love people. But it starts with us as individuals. This passage of scripture tells us that faithfulness is the way in which we serve him. Faithful meaning loyal, meaning trusting and believing. He says this because he knows the people of Israel have had faith in different things. So much so that it's a part of their history, right? He tells us that your father served these gods with a little g, right? These idols. He's reminding them of their history. This is how God feels about other gods, little g. Again, those idols. This is how he feels about those idols in our life. The people of Israel in Exodus 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, so much so that they went to Aaron and gathered up rings of gold and fashioned it into a golden calf, right? Aaron would go on to build an altar before it, and they planned to worship him. And God said to Moses in Exodus 32:10, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." And he was mad. He was mad. We cannot forget that when we take hold of other things in our lives, that this is not pleasing to God. We are no different from these people. They made a god out of rings from their ears. We make a god or an idol out of fill in the blank for yourself. I don't think that we believe that we do this, but we do this, right? When we go to our friends for advice before we go to God, that's the process. That's the beginning point. Right? When we go to social media with our issues and with our problems, or looking to answers, we might be making an idol out of it. And even with our family, when we go to them so much that we stop talking to God, your family is not perfect. They may not be able to take you out of a situation like God can. But this is the good news, is that you don't have to make idols out of other things. If you're a believer of Christ and you're here tonight, you can decide only to serve God. Wholly and fully trust in Him. We just have to continue to deny ourselves. Continue to get out of your own way. Man, I'm so stubborn. You would think I like being in my own way. But I don't. I don't. Luke 9:23 says this, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So if you're here tonight and you do not know who Christ is, he died for you so you can stop serving other things. Dale and Miss Beth, y'all can go ahead and come up. Romans 10:9 says this, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And I know, man, I know that we come here Sunday night and I think we believe that we often got it all figured out. But maybe you're in your own way tonight. Maybe you've been in your own way for your whole life and you don't know who Christ is. Tonight you can follow him truly and serve him fully. If you're saved and if you're not saved, you can choose to follow him with all that you have. So this is my last question for you guys. For you and your house, will you serve the Lord? For you and your house, will you serve the Lord this year? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we just thank you for this word, God, and we just praise you. Lord, help us to get out of our own way, God. Help us to be a people that love you and just want to serve you, that we wouldn't go to different things and trust in different things, God, but that we would trust in you. God, that your timing is perfect, even though we can't see it, God. Lord, that you can bring us out of the situation, even though we can't see the end. Lord, have your way in us this year and forever. God, we love you. To your name I pray. Amen.